content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles initially from the Harvard Health Letter, and then probably from the Harvard Women's Health Watch as well. First from the Harvard Health Letter of August 2023, here's an article entitled "Surprising Causes of Neck Pain." Your daily activities may be triggering neck pain without you realizing it. A sore neck can dog you in every position, lying down, sitting, standing, or walking, and the discomfort can be debilitating. The pain might come from structural neck problems like arthritis or degenerated discs, which are worn cushions between your neck bones. But often the cause is related to strains in the neck muscles, triggered by something subtle in your daily routine. Here are some surprising culprits behind neck pain and strain, plus quick fixes to feel better. Like to watch back-to-back episodes of your favorite program? You might be holding your neck in an awkward position for hours at a time. A lot of people lean way back while they watch TV, extending the neck backward, or they lean to the side, forcing the neck too far sideways. Both positions can strain neck muscles, says David Evangelista, a physical therapist at Harvard-affiliated Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital. Use a horseshoe-shaped travel pillow that goes around your neck when you lean back to watch TV. If you lean to the side, use more pillows to fill the gap between your head and shoulders, and change your position every 15 or 20 minutes to give your neck a break so it doesn't get stiff, Evangelista says. Also, you might lean forward throughout the day, whether that's toward a computer monitor that's hard to see or toward another person during a conversation. If you extend your neck every time, that can strain the muscles and cause pain. If you're going to lean, keep your back straight and tilt forward at your hips. If you can't see your computer monitor well, pull it closer to you or increase the font size. If you have eyeglasses for reading or distant vision, see if they help. If they don't help enough, you can get glasses just for using a computer. If you don't use eyeglasses, get an eye exam. You may need a pair. Similarly, if you lean forward a lot to hear people in conversation, consider getting a hearing test. Wearing a flimsy bra. Wearing a bra with little support makes your muscles and ligaments do all the heavy lifting. For someone with heavy breasts, the extra weight can pull the neck forward and stress the neck and shoulder muscles, leading to neck and back pain. The solution is to get a better bra. Make sure both the underwire and middle section of the bra lie flat against your body. The cups aren't too tight or too loose, and the band is level across the back and doesn't ride up. Or try a sports bra or posture bra that brings the weight of the breast closer to your rib cage and distributes it across your torso. Sleeping in risky positions. Sleeping seems harmless, but some sleep positions pose big risks for the neck. When you sleep on your stomach, for example, you rotate your head to the side. Sleeping on your side without the right support pushes your neck toward your shoulder. Staying in these positions for hours can cause neck muscle strain. Avoid sleeping on your stomach, and if you're a side sleeper, check the support on your neck. Lie on your side with your head on your pillow. If you can easily slide your hand in the space between your head and shoulders, you're not getting enough support. Get a new pillow to fill the gap. Any material will do, Evangelista says. For many people, sitting comfortably means slouching, which is bad for your neck and back. Poor posture puts abnormal strain on the spine, including the neck and the ligaments holding it together, and that can cause pain, Evangelista says. Sit up straight. Pull your chin back. Lower your shoulders and arch your back. If that's challenging at first, sit on the edge of your chair for a few minutes, which makes sitting up straight a little easier, and then sit farther back on the seat. If your budget allows, get an ergonomic desk chair with low back support, adjustable height, and a thick seat cushion. We all spend a lot of time looking at electronic devices. You might be looking up at a TV mounted on a wall or down at a smartphone or laptop. The trouble is your head is heavy. Angling it up or down for a long time leads to muscle strain and pain. Keep TVs, smartphones, and computer screens at eye level. Consider lowering the height of your TV, elevating your computer screen by putting it on a small stand, or raising your smartphone screen by putting on a stand or pillow on your lap. Wearing a travel pillow around your neck can add neck support, Evangelista says. Evangelista says many people lift dumbbells that are too heavy. That throws off your body mechanics. Your trapezius muscles in the back overcompensate. They're connected to the neck, and that can cause back pain. If you're struggling to lift a dumbbell, use a lighter weight. Make sure you're using proper form. A physical therapist or certified personal trainer can guide you. We carry a lot of stress in our necks. We raise our shoulders and tense our muscles. If you have any underlying neck problems, it irritates them, Evangelista says. So you should practice stress management. Try some deep breathing exercises. Go for a quiet walk in nature, or learn how to meditate. I've seen people whose neck problems go away when they get stress under control, Evangelista says. It's an important part of any plan to reduce neck pain. Finally, here's a useful article, again from the Harvard Health Letter of August 2023, and it's entitled, Don't Get Duped. Here's how to avoid online pharmacy risks. Type the word best online pharmacy into a search engine and you'll find countless options promising prescription drugs delivered right to your door at discount prices. Be careful if you plan to place an order. Many online pharmacies are unscrupulous purveyors of potentially harmful products. It takes some know-how to identify legitimate pharmacies selling approved medication. The vast majority of online pharmacies are rife with risks, according to the FDA and the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy, an independent nonprofit group. The National Association of Boards of Pharmacy has found that at least 40,000 online pharmacies aren't complying with patient safety standards or law. About 95% of websites offering prescription-only drugs operate illegally. And 89% of illegal online pharmacies don't require prescriptions for prescription-only drugs. Yes, it really is that bad. What does that mean for consumers? You don't know who you're dealing with. It could be a pharmacy in another country that doesn't have the same level of quality control that we do, or it could be a fake pharmacy with a legitimate-looking storefront, says Joanne Doyle Petrangelo, a pharmacist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. You can't tell if the pill you get has been stored properly, if it's expired, if it's the correct strength, or even if it's the right medication. You don't know what else is in the product, Doyle Petrangelo says. The NABP found that some pills contain dangerous substances along with the medication. The NABP reports that some online pharmacies are out to steal your personal information, putting you at risk of identity theft, or install malware on your computer. Despite the risk, there are plenty of licensed, legitimate online pharmacies. Using them has many benefits. The main one is cheaper prices for certain drugs. You can sometimes save hundreds of dollars, so it's worth considering, Doyle Petrangelo says. Other reasons to use online pharmacies include the convenience of having medications delivered directly to your home, and privacy if you're too embarrassed to pick up certain drugs at the corner drugstore. To order prescriptions with the confidence that you're getting legitimate products, learn the signs of safe online pharmacies. These companies are licensed with a state board of pharmacy, have a physical address and phone number in the United States, require a doctor's prescription, have a licensed pharmacist available to answer your questions, have prices that aren't too good to be true, and clearly state that they don't sell your personal information. Doyle Petrangelo recommends using the NABP Buy Safely tool, which is at www.safe.pharmacy/buy-safely, which allows you to type in an online pharmacy website to see if it's been verified by the NABP. You can also look for a symbol on the pharmacy website indicating that it's NABP accredited. The symbol resembles a vertical infinity sign like the number 8 inside a red circle and has the words NABP accredited digital pharmacy. Examples of online pharmacies with this symbol are Amazon's pharmacy service at pharmacy.amazon.com and Health Warehouse, which is at www.healthwarehouse.com. And before you order anything online, remember that you can sometimes find prices that are just as good or better at your local pharmacy. You don't have to look for deals on medications that have been around for a long time, like hydrochlorothiazide or atenolol to treat blood pressure or simvastatin to treat high cholesterol, Doyle Petrangelo says. You think they'll be more affordable somewhere else, but they're actually often cheaper, just a few dollars, at a local drugstore or a big box store. Now we're going to turn to the Harvard Women's Health Watch. This is the Harvard Women's Health Watch for August of 2023. And we're going to start with question and answer portion with Dr. Tony Golan and Dr. Hope Ricciotti. And the first question is, lately I've been fatigued and gaining weight for no reason. My friend said it might be due to hypothyroidism. That's H-Y-P-O. Could she be right? She might be, although hypothyroidism, also called underactive thyroid, isn't a condition you should self-diagnose. The problem, which affects 8 times as many women as men, occurs when the thyroid gland at the front of the neck slows or even stops its production of typical levels of thyroid hormone. These substances help to regulate key functions throughout the body, including metabolism, heart rate, and digestion. When hypothyroidism strikes, weight gain and fatigue are two prominent symptoms, along with menstrual irregularities, forgetfulness, dry skin and hair, and constantly feeling cold. See your doctor and explain how long you've been having these symptoms. She can perform blood tests to measure your thyroid hormone levels and confirm if hypothyroidism is the cause. If so, treatment usually involves taking pills to replace thyroid hormones. Your doctor will continue to regularly monitor your thyroid hormone levels to adjust medication dosage if needed. The next question is, I've noticed blood on my sheets after sex. Why might this happen? If you're not menstruating at the time, bleeding after sex can be alarming, although some of its possible causes are minor. A top contributor is vaginal dryness, which is common among women after menopause due to declining estrogen, and can also cause the vaginal walls to become thinner and more fragile. But bleeding after sex can also stem from inflammation from yeast or other vaginal infections, including sexually transmitted infections like chlamydia or gonorrhea. Cervical polyps, small, typically non-cancerous growths on the cervix, can also bleed from the chafing of vaginal intercourse. Far less likely to cause bleeding after sex are gynecologic cancers affecting the cervix, uterus, ovaries or vagina, or post-surgical bleeding after a pelvic procedure. See your doctor about any unusual or unexpected vaginal bleeding, whether it occurs after sex or at other times. Now we're going to continue with the Harvard Women's Health Watch. And here's another article about injuries from walking dogs. And it says, women are more likely to be injured while walking a leash dog. Women and older adults are more likely to sustain serious injuries, including fractures and head trauma, than other adults while walking a leash dog, a new analysis suggests. The study, published online April 14, 2023, by Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, used data from the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System and learned that nearly 423,000 adults sought treatment in emergency rooms from 2001 to 2020 for injuries sustained while walking a leash dog. About half were people aged 40 to 64. 75% were women. Most injuries resulted from falling after being pulled, tangled in, or tripped by the leash connected to the dog. But women with dog walking injuries were 50% more likely than men to sustain a broken bone. Meanwhile, adults 65 and older were more than three times as likely as younger adults to experience a fall, twice as likely to suffer a broken bone, and 60% more likely to sustain a head injury, like a concussion. Since more than half of American households own a dog, it's wise to be aware that dog walking can be risky. Despite the findings, the researchers strongly encourage people to leash their dogs whenever it is legally required. Here's another useful brief article from the Harvard Women's Health Watch entitled, National Task Force Proposes Updated Breast Cancer Screening Recommendations. Women at average risk for breast cancer should get screened every other year, starting at age 40, according to new draft guidelines from an independent national panel of experts. Released May 9, 2023, the proposed recommendations of the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force update the group's earlier advice, suggesting women undergo mammograms every other year, starting at age 50. The new advice also largely aligns with the 2022 guidelines by the National Comprehensive Cancer Network an alliance of leading cancer centers, which recommends annual mammograms for women at average risk of breast cancer. The update results from a new scientific evidence that indicates biennial mammograms starting at 40 may prevent one additional breast cancer death for every 1,000 women. Each year, about 264,000 American women are diagnosed with breast cancer, and 42,000 die from the disease, according to the CDC. Some women need earlier or more frequent screening. These include women who had breast cancer before age 40, abnormal findings on a breast biopsy, chest radiation at a younger age, or a test showing a genetic marker for breast cancer, like the BRCA gene mutation. The task force recommendation will not be final until after a public comment period. And then finally, in the Harvard Women's Health Watch, there is another brief article which is entitled, Sleep Problems May Raise the Risk of Stroke. Sleep problems like snoring, snorting, or getting too much or too little sleep may significantly raise the odds of having a stroke. The international study, published online in April 5, 2023 by Neurology, involved 4,500 people, average age 62. About half of the group had already experienced a stroke. Participants were asked about their sleep behaviors over the prior month, including how many hours they usually slept, impaired sleep quality, and napping habits, as well as snoring, snorting, and other breathing problems during sleep. Too little sleep was defined as less than 5 hours nightly. Too much was defined as more than 9 hours. Each of the sleep symptoms raised stroke risk, but participants were Each of the sleep symptoms raised stroke risk, but participants who reported five or more symptoms were five times likelier to have had a stroke compared with those who had no sleep issues. The results held even after the researchers adjusted for other factors that could affect stroke risk, like smoking, physical activity level, depression, and alcohol consumption. The results suggest sleep problems should be factored into stroke prevention efforts, the study's authors said. Now, there's another article which I'm going to summarize, which is called Screening Advice That's Not Just Skin Deep. And it's basically asking the question, who should have a yearly skin exam for skin cancer? And one section is, who can benefit from a yearly skin exam? About 20% of people who have any of the following risk factors. One is dozens of atypical moles. Most of us have 10 to 40 common moles, which are small, round, and smooth. Atypical moles are larger with irregular or blurred borders. If you've got several dozen, a yearly skin check is warranted, because there's a chance that they could develop into melanoma. Also, a family history of melanoma and atypical moles. If a first-degree relative like a parent, a sibling, or a child has had melanoma or many atypical moles, your risk rises. When someone tells me her grandfather had melanoma at 89, that's different from telling me her mother had it at 40, Dr. Bragg says. One is a function of age and many years of sun exposure, and the other may be more familial. Also, if you've had a previous skin cancer of any kind, you should have yearly skin examinations. This risk factor may warrant getting skin checks even more frequently, like every 3 to 6 months. People with a BRCA gene mutation, a family history of certain inherited cancers, or dysplastic nevus syndrome all have higher melanoma odds and should have regular skin examinations. Organ transplantation or inflammatory bowel disease. Both of these scenarios can involve taking immune-suppressing drugs that can increase a patient's chance of developing skin cancer. History of blistering sunburns. 3 sunburns before age 15 substantially increased your melanoma risk. Tanning bed use. Multiple tanning bed sessions, especially before age 20, dramatically increases the risk of melanoma. And it also points out that there are important melanoma signs. Look for these features in body moles, and they include asymmetry or irregular shape, borders that are uneven, colors that vary within the same mole, diameter that's larger than the width of a pencil eraser, and evolution or change over time in size, shape, or color. If you notice any of these things, you should consult your doctor or dermatologist. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.